I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for a laugh. Three Muslims walk into a bar. Oh, don't worry, that's not the joke. That is actually the story of three Muslim comedians featured in a new concert film, Allah Made Me Funny. The documentary follows the trio as they perform in clubs around the country and chronicles how they made comedy out of sometimes painful experiences living as Muslims in post-9/11 America.
Me walking into the airport, heads turn simultaneously. Security guys like, shh, we got a Muhammad at 4 o'clock. 10-4, Muhammad at 4, over and out. You get the smelly one, I got the hairy one. Excuse me, sir, can I see your ID? My middle name actually is Muhammad. That's what I thought, you're coming with me.
Allah Made Me Funny was just released this weekend. To learn more about it, I'm talking with the stars themselves. Azhar Usman, he's at Chicago Public Radio. Mol Amer is at NPR West in Los Angeles. And Preacher Moss joins us from our New York Bureau. Welcome to you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Congratulations on the opening.
Oh, it was a fantastic opening weekend.
It was the
unbelievable
best.
Box office.
Okay. Let me just say that you all have very different backgrounds. Asar, your family's Indian. Mo, your family's Palestinian. And Preacher, you're African American and were raised as a Christian, but you converted to Islam. How did you all connect with each other? You're all in different cities now, but how did you connect for purposes of this film, this tour?
We didn't really connect. We hate each other, in fact.
That's why we're in different studios.
Publicity stunt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I refuse to speak unless everybody else's microphone is turned down. That's the way I feel about it.
I don't know what's going on because I have it on mute right now.
Oh, so it's like that. Okay.
That question properly goes to Preacher Moss.
Okay.
As the founder of Allah Made Me
Funny. All right, Preacher, help us out.
All right. Well, it started in 2003 with myself and expanded in 2004. I basically did a search for what I felt was the best and effective communicators in the comedy game that happened to be Muslim. And was introduced through a mutual friend, well, ex-friend, however you want to do it.
But what gave you the idea? Why did you want to reach out to these other communicators, as you put it, who happened to be Muslim?
Well, I mean, I was looking at, the fallout from 9/11 from the sidelines. And I was just watching how, it played out in the Muslim community. And it dawned on me when I was looking at people trying to represent Islam and talk about the Muslim American identity. In large regard, some people are doing a horrible job. And I actually reached out and realized that the effort that we needed was a coalition, not just one voice. It needed to be all of us. So fortunately, I was blessed to reach out to Azhar and originally Azim Muhammad, who's with the Nation of Islam. And then we brought on Mo. And, this was the team. This was literally the history of Islam in the United States, and you could see it on stage in a 90-minute show.
Interesting. I want to play a short clip from the movie where you talk about the role of 9/11 as a, I don't know if you want to call it like a shadow or even a sort of a unifying force. But here's a clip from the movie where you talk about the way many Americans react to your physical appearance, your long hair and your black beard. Here it is.
Because I don't even blame people anymore, man. I don't even think they're racist or prejudiced. They can't help it. If they see somebody who looks like me walking on the street, they hear a little voice in their head like, Osama, Taliban, Saddam, Obama. Obama?
Now, so to me, this is a little like the way black men feel when they hear the door lock clicking when they go past, the little ladies clutching their purse. I'm curious how you started to see this as funny. Does your mind just naturally go to the humor of any situation, or is this something that you teach yourself to do?
Yeah, no, the answer is what you said. My mind always tends to see the absurdity in life. I'm one of these people who could be in what outwardly appears to be a very difficult or trying situation, but I'm having to keep myself from laughing because I can see the absurdity of it. And just the notion of, somebody looking at me and thinking that I could be a terrorist in any way. Like, I would be the worst terrorist. I'm so lazy. I'm just, totally not committed to anything that passionately, except maybe jokes. And so it's just kind of an absurd thought. But the fact that people can actually seriously entertain that thought and that they look at me and countless millions of others like me it's just really funny to me. I don't know. It's like, well, gee, why don't you just slow down? Maybe I'm just a taxi driver. Maybe I'm your doctor. You know, have you thought about that?
And you're trained as a lawyer, too. Am I right about that?
That is correct. I don't like to talk about that. It's kind of a, you know, part of my dirty past. But I was trained in the art of law as well.
And I've had to hire a lawyer on several occasions.
Mo, let me go to you now. Your material runs the gamut, jokes about marriage, the way you grew up, but you also talk about the conflict between Israel and Palestine. Did you start out with all of those topics kind of mixed in, or did you start someplace and then move to the
other? When I was born, I was brainwashed ever since I was 3 months old. And I was talked, no. You know, it's a part of my life. It's something I have to talk about. You know, I happen to be a refugee. I was born in Kuwait, and I came here. I think I'd be doing myself and a lot of people that are going through the same thing that I am a disservice if I don't discuss it or put it on the platform to be discussed. So I thought it was very, very important to me, and it's a way for me to kind of, you know, it's a rehabilitation. You know, once you go through the immigration process and still go through the immigration process, you can't help but find some kind of counseling, you know. So that was my way of venting and letting out my frustrations at the whole process and how long it takes and how it does a disservice to a lot of refugees that are trying to make a progress here in America.
Preacher, you were raised as a Christian, as I mentioned. In your routine, you talked about your mom.
Why you want to bring that up? Why you want to bring that up?
Because you did.
I'm just messing with
you. You talked about your mom guilt-tripping you into attending a Mother's Day function at her church after your conversion. I want to play a short clip of that.
All right.
So what I was hoping, because you're the only baby I ever had, I ain't never had other children other than you, was that you could come take me to the thing. And when your mom starts crying, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'll go. People? It was a setup. It was the old black Christian intervention trick.
What about that, preacher?
Hey, that's true. It is what it was, you know. People possessive, you know what I mean? Yeah, come on back to Jesus, baby. Jesus knows your heart. Jesus wants you to be here. Come on back, baby. Pork is waiting for you, baby. Pork is waiting for you. You can have everything you can have. You can have women, pork, alcohol. You a man, baby. Now, I don't know if Muslims are men, but you can come on now, baby. Come on back. Come on back to the light.
Is it interesting for you to hear each other's experiences, comparing notes? I know you're not speaking because you mentioned that actually you really don't
Absolutely.
Like each other that much. But is it interesting to compare notes about your various experiences?
I think what's really, really interesting, Michelle, is that there's been, you know, an evolution when you work with people. Just doing a tour, especially when we first started, it was like we were going into these foreign lands, you know, that just happened to be in the United States and interacting with cultures. And it's like, whew, I mean, that was the way it was from day one. You grow, you know, you figure out you got to have a thick skin and, you know, you have to focus on the job, which is, you know, you're trying to get out a message to people, and no one ever said it's going to be easy, Michelle.
But some of that is the experience of anybody who does stand up. I mean, you're naked out there, you know, you're vulnerable. But is there a little extra? Forgive me for asking, but I'm just wondering, what is it like when you know there are people who might not be ready to laugh about some things yet? Is there an extra feeling of, do you feel you're checking the audience to see who's there, to see how you think they might react?
I think that's a mistake. I think sometimes you have to have a firm understanding of who you are in any situation. And I think it's education. You have to believe in what you're talking about in terms of material, but it follows in accordance with the idea why you're there in the first place.
Just let me just jump in just for 1 minute to say, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with Azhar Usman, Mo Amer, and Preacher Moss about their new film, Allah Made Me Funny. It hit theaters nationwide this weekend. Mo, could I ask you that same question? Do you ever find yourself checking to see who's out there, to see how you think they might react?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to talk about the audiences, I mean, I think it's important for a comedian to know who he's about to perform in front of. I think it's okay to look at the audience and kind of, you know, look around and say, okay, but absolutely agree with what Preach said, and you have to be confident in yourself and true to yourself. So you bring the stories and your own self experiences, and somehow that will run parallel with other people in the audience. You know, the important thing is to be universal. I mean, we've had the pleasure and experience of performing in South Africa and Australia and all over Europe in the same material that we do in the States. We happen to do it in all these different countries, and they some way find a way to people's hearts, and they laugh and they have a great time just like they would here in Los Angeles.
Mo, to that point, I wanted to play a short clip from your routine where you talk about your family. Here it is.
Check this out. I have a brother, Omar. We're very proud of him. Omar, he happens to be a pilot. Great. The FBI is coming, right? We know. FBI is coming. Or as my uncle calls them, the Phoebe. Broken toe and everything. The Phoebe's coming. The who? The Phoebe, voila. The Phoebe, the Phoebe, the Phoebe, the Phoebe's coming.
When you talked to my colleague, Jennifer Ludden, in 2005, you and Asar told, like you were mentioning here, you were hoping that maybe this is one way for people to get over some of their fears and to sort of tap into the common experiences. Do you feel that that's happening, particularly as we get further away from 9/11? Do you feel that maybe some of the tension's easing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, directly after 9/11, I felt extremely uncomfortable, just like many, many Muslims and non-Muslims for that matter. I mean, I, as a refugee, as an immigrant, you know, since from 1990, I was extremely nervous about what's going to happen to me and my family, especially my brother being a pilot and my other, you know, having a problem with anthrax and my other brother, you know, having a PhD in biochemistry and a nephew named Osama. You know, it's not like you can have a conversation with your brother at the airport, you know, who works there for Southwest Airlines at the time, and discussing when's Osama and Muhammad's going to get together and FBI shows up at your door. You're like, what's going to happen, you know, in the next 5 years? Where are we going to end up? Are we going to end up in camps or something like the Japanese, you know? So we were very concerned about that. But to see that people are really intrigued and want to know more about where we all come from, you know, what Preach's experience, my experience, or others' experience, to see that all come to on stage and people's opinions, and to, I think it's, I mean, I feel like I'm having a Sarah Palin moment. I apologize. Hold on a second. I think it's very important
to the economy.
It's all about the economy, and I think when Putin rears his head and comes into Alaska, no.
Can you see Russia though? Can you see Russia?
I can't
from L.A.
I think it's really in the end of this. I think it's most important thing is that people need to learn about each other.
Wait a minute, doesn't the fact that so many people are coming out to your shows? I mean, as I understand it, well, I'll just tell you, here in Washington, your debut show sold out. So doesn't that suggest that maybe people are interested?
Absolutely. I'm not saying they're not. I think they're interested to learn more, and I think that's the problem, is that there's this huge gap, and all they get their knowledge from is from media, just keep portraying us as terrorists or as evil people, when in fact, you know, most of us are doctors here in the United States helping one another as part of society. So that's the problem.
Asar, does anybody ever object to any of your making fun of your own traditions? Your own cultural or religious traditions?
Infrequently, it does happen, but overwhelmingly the response has been positive, both from Muslims, people from other faiths, and really as a rule, the only people that I've ever had a problem with the show are experts, meaning they don't know anything about the show, or they just don't know what stand-up is. They lack the cultural frame of reference. They come to America from the Middle East or South Asia. They've never seen a stand-up show before, and they completely miss the point of self-deprecating humor, of satire. They think we're actually, you know, perpetuating stereotypes that we're joking about rather than exploding those stereotypes. So there is, you know, a little bit of that, but as a rule, we've been just absolutely delighted and blessed with the kind of response we've gotten.
I'm sorry, can I ask each of you, that's a terrible question, I'm just going to admit it. What's your favorite part of the film for each of you? They're stumped.
Part of the film.
I love it.
Azhar, go ahead.
Preacher, come on, preacher, come on. Step up.
Oh, now you're taunting me. Okay, all right. I think the favorite part of the film for me is literally at the end, where everybody's on stage and the lights are up, and it's reminiscent of that mission accomplished type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still have work to do, but this is a milestone in every aspect of the world. This has never been done before. And we were right here in New York City, myself and Azhar. when we said, you know, we're going to do a film. Now, keep in mind, we didn't have any money. We didn't know the first thing about film, but it's like, we're going to become students, and we're going to do this thing. And we're going to rely on the community to move us forward. And that's exactly what it did. So, you know, when the credits start rolling, you see the people standing there at the end and we're on stage, you know, you realize that there's a lot of history that's gone down, you know, with this tour, and a lot of growth and some hard knocks and some tough roads. But overall, people were able to maintain the core values and be good people in a very, very tough process.
Asar, what about you? What's your favorite part?
I'm going to cheat a little bit, but at the end of the film, the concert itself ends, and then there's like sort of one set of credits, and then there's a whole other set of credits that actually is overlaid against a hip-hop track that was put together by a rapper called Brother Ali, who's an indie rapper out of Twin Cities. He's an albino Muslim rapper, and his track, which is called Good Lord, it has become one of my favorite songs. It's like an anthem, really, to the film. And against that track, there's a series of outtakes and really funny clips of us on the road and just goofing around. And that's really the part of the film that I love the most.
We'll play it to take us out.
We'll play.
Go ahead. Mo, your favorite?
It really sucks because they took both. Really, my favorite part is when we're all hanging together. You know, when you see us all hanging out together, kind of going through the motions together, having fun, laughing. There's something special when we're all on the road. We have this connection, and I treasure it. So I love it. I love that part. It kind of puts it all together.
You know, we say this all the time at the end of our shows, that we tell the audiences that, you know, once you've watched the show and you've been with us, you are now officially part of the Allah Made Me Funny family. And that's because all of us are family.
Can I ask a question? There's no women in the family?
Oh, you, Michelle.
Women are to be seen and not heard.
Oh, you know, snap. Nobody told me.
Shouldn't you be cooking something? No, that's terrible. I am going to be
You should be so lucky as to eat my food.
Now, you know what? We've had women perform on the show. A lot of people don't know that. Yeah, we've had Sabrina Jaliz, who's between New York and Toronto. She starred on the show a couple times. The door's always been open for sisters.
Well, maybe there'll be another film, Allah Made Me Funny Too.
My fear is to wake up and read about a competitive tour of Muslim women comics called Allah Made Me Funnier.
Which I've already tried.
Don't
that's,
step
that's
light.
That's how they would do us.
Don't
that's
come weak.
That's how they would do us.
Don't
that's
come weak. All right. Asar Usman, Mo Amer, and Preacher Moss are featured in the new film Allah Made Me Funny. It's in theaters now. Gentlemen, thank you all so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Check out the film. You're going to love it.
I say the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keeps. Gotta use what I have to get what I want.
And on our website today, you can find photos and watch a clip from Allah Made Me Funny. Go to npr.org and click on Tell Me More.
Sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow. We'll be in Providence, Rhode Island.